Come on in, come on in, come on in. All geeks are welcome in this space. Let's learn together and seek his face. I'm Len Filia, a.k.a. Bad Gamer Elite, your host for the Sound Maiden podcast, sponsored by Quake. God, Games, and Geekery gives us an opportunity to chat every month about the crossroads of our passions and our faith. I can't wait to learn and discuss with you. 71 episodes! Yeah, baby, let's go! You guys have been around for 71 of these things. Actually, a little bit more. But because we've done some other types of things. But as far as this goes, this is 71. I'm excited. Good job, you guys. Thanks for hanging out. Hey, I want to talk about our sponsor. Our sponsor is Quake, quakeevent.com. Go to quakeevent.com. January through March 2024, we will be part of the Quake experience all over the U.S. We're going to have a new G3 workshop, God Games and Geeky workshop. We're going to have an updated arcade. Maybe we'll have something else for you. We'll see how it goes. You guys, it's been a crazy month. It has been a crazy month. I've been all over the spectrum when it comes to what I'm playing and how I'm doing with it. I've been playing Guild Wars 2. I'm thoroughly enjoying Guild Wars 2. We haven't played our God Games and Geekery channel character in a long time. But my ranger that I play on my personal channel, I am loving it. I am absolutely loving it. I now have all of the expansions. I'm only on the second expansion. There's Heart of Thorns, Path of Fire, End of Dragons. What else is there? Oh, and then the Obscure. Secrets of the Obscure just came out. That's four expansions. I've done two. I might be missing another. I also have Living World 1 and Living World 4. It's a great game. And what I love about it is you can play solo. You can play this. It's not like many other MMOs where you are really required to play with other people. You can actually do this one by yourself. And I do enjoy a good solo story. So, yeah, Guild Wars 2, loving it. I'm back in Overwatch. I actually completed the Battle Pass last season and this season. It's been a lot of fun. I've learned to regulate myself. I don't stream it, but I do play with some friends, and it's great. I will not go into PC pool, though. I just don't. I won't do it. Nope. I don't like who I am when I play that game in PC pool. I've gotten to the point where I am more at ease with regular pool now. Regular console pool. I did start playing a board game. I'm not going to say board games, but I did start playing Marvel United. Our friend Gavin Finity. His son is part of our God Games and Geekery students community. He taught me how to play Marvel United yesterday. And he had bought me the actual board game 3 years ago. Never played it. He taught me. He's on the East Coast. So he taught me how to play it on Tabletop Simulator. And I had a good time. I had a good time with it. I might be bringing that with me to Quakes. Maybe we'll see it at Life Fest. Maybe. Still playing Fortnite, you guys. Not as much as I was. I am at level 72, I think. Or 73, one of the two. In Battle Royale, I am level 278 in Save the World. And I am up to 421 skins, you guys. 421. I did get my solo win. I did get my trio win. I think I got a duos win. And I know I got a squads win. Because I usually, if I'm either playing Save the World or I'm playing squads. I usually don't go in by myself. But I did get a season win. I got the umbrella for that. And I've been enjoying it. I'm back into, I have a few games that I am playing and I'm enjoying, and I'm learning to be content with that. So that's really cool. How am I doing on my backlog? Well, remember how I said that I'm looking for about 1,000 hours this year of enjoyment? We are in September, and I am up to 872 approximate hours of gameplay enjoyed this year. I do have to take a look at Disney Speedstorm, because I am working on that battle pass. I'm going well with the Fortnite battle pass. I don't think I'm going to have a problem reaching 200 for the Fortnite battle pass. 100 is in the bag. I might even have 100 next week without even trying. But I am enjoying playing on Speedstorm. I really need to jump into it to catch up and complete that battle pass. The Overwatch battle pass is great. All done. But I'm finding that there are some of the cozy games. I'm enjoying cozy games, you guys. I don't know if I talked about this last month. I don't remember. But cozy gaming has been a thing for me. And I enjoy it. It's a cool, just chill, relaxation time. Oh, I love it. I love it. One of the ones that I played is Cozy Grove. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Cozy Grove. It's really, really good. I'll talk about that in a little bit too. But what am I watching? Well, my son and my wife and I, we've been watching The Good Place. I have seen that all the way through at least twice. This is my third run through on it. My son's watching it for the first time. And he is really enjoying it. I wanted to introduce it to my oldest and her husband when they came in from Alaska, which was, they came in to visit from Alaska. It was really great. I got to see her and her husband, and we had a great time hanging out. We went out to dinner a couple of times, and I made some spicier food, and he said something that made me realize, and this might offend some folks here, but he said something that made me realize how much he belongs in our family. For those of you who don't know, we are a mixed family. My wife is Caucasian. I am African American. And my son-in-law is Caucasian. And I made some very spicy drumsticks. And I turned to him and I said, hey, and I'm not going to say his name. He doesn't like his name out on the internet, so I won't say it. I said, hey, would you like some? I said, there, I made some spicy drumsticks. He says, Lem, I am as white as I look. And, oh, I had never heard him say anything like that. And it floored me. I was so, we have that sense of humor in our family. And I love that kid. He's a great guy. Absolutely love it. What else am I doing? Well, while we took them back to the airport in Chicago, we went to the Brookfield Zoo, I believe it's called. I just call it the Chicago Zoo. But we went to the Brookfield Zoo, and I did a little bit of drawing. What I ended up doing, and I maybe I'll put it in our Discord, but I took the day in my bullet journal. Was it in this one? No, it was in my other bullet journal. But we took the day, we went to that zoo, and I bullet journaled just the some sketches. The day at the zoo was me doing sketches. And that's how I did all my journaling for that day. It was really cool. I'm getting back into drawing. I'm getting back into coloring. You guys, I got a cover for my tablet that makes it feel like paper, like I'm drawing on paper. It is a game changer. Oh my goodness. I feel like I can draw on my tablet, and I feel like I can color on my tablet now because of it. It was so good. But it was a great, it's a great time for me to sit back, chill, relax after a hard day's work. And what's funny is I do stuff on my tablet for work as well. So just to be able to use it for relaxation, it's different. And like I said, I learned that cozy gaming is a thing that you can do to have a little bit more of a relaxed gaming experience. And Cozy Grove in particular, what I love, oh, this one in particular, guys, it limits your progress to one real-time day. Let me say that again. It limits your progress to one actual real-time day. So after like a certain time in the day, I don't make any more progress. You can go to sleep and wake up, but it won't progress the story or anything like that. It forces you to work hard, but also take a rest. And that's what we get to talk to amazing Christian rocker Zana about this week, you guys. And that's right. I said this week. We'll talk more about that later. Hey, let's go talk to Zana. All right, everybody. I promised you we would bring you somebody that's freaking rocking. I said it. And you know I like to keep my promises. Guys, with us today, Zana is here. What's up, girl?
Today.
I'm doing all right. Oh my. And we got this. So for those of you who are watching the potential video piece of this, we may get a surprise visitor at some point from Zana. What's his, her name?
I'm sorry, for who? My cat? Yeah, Morpheus. He's behind me right now. He's in his little chair. He loves that blanket over there.
Cat's name is Morpheus.
Yes,
that Morpheus. Is so good.
We call him Morphe. He also has a nickname of Buchines, and so you'll never know what he's going to be called. Buchines, Morphe, Morpheus. Yeah.
Okay, I'm writing that down, Buchines, because we got to talk about that for a second. But
it's a ridiculous nickname, yeah. But he responds to it also.
All right. So tell me a little bit. For those of us that have not been to LifeFest or might not have seen you live, who is Zana?
Yeah, that's me. Zana is me, actually. Yeah, so I'm a rock artist. I've been at LifeFest, had the pleasure of playing LifeFest a couple years now. Really awesome experience, especially this last year, 2023. But I'm a rock solo artist. I do travel with the band. But Zana is a form of my full name, which is Susana in Spanish. Oh, there he comes.
Hey, Pucci.
He's got this thing. He really likes his little butt smack. So sorry about that. It's in the sound. He will not leave me alone unless I do. He's got a cat butt and a cat tail within frame, so he don't know what its proper manners. But yeah, so Zana is a English pronunciation of my full name, Susana, in Spanish. I am Hispanic. I was actually born in Mexico. Have a Spanish song out, but yeah, I'm a rock artist. I do original music, and I just released an album this year called Stronger Than Death. So if you want to check it out, there it is.
Okay, let's go back for a second. You were born and raised in the States?
So I was born in Mexico, actually, and my dad actually got a job transfer to the United States. So when I was about 2 years old, I came here, actually to Ohio, randomly. That's where the job was. So I was here for I was up north for like 10 years. And so I guess you can say I grew up in the States. But when I was in sixth grade, I actually went back to school in Mexico. I lived with my aunt just to kind of regain all my Spanish speaking skills, writing, reading. And then I came back to the States again. So, really, really awesome time. It was very scary. I failed a lot of my classes at first because I understood Spanish. I was terrible at speaking it, and I had no idea how to write it. But it ended up being like the first... kind of the first year I was on my own, and kind of the year I considered I gave my life to Christ that year for myself. So kind of like one of the worst slash best years of my life, because it was so hard in the beginning, but that's when, you know, I really leaned on God, and kind of surrendered my life to Him as I was in that, remote place where I was really kind of just, I was only like 10 or 11, man. So my parents obviously were still communicating with me. I was with family, but it was, you know, still a really new experience for me, who really, a girl who had no idea what her culture was, going back, being thrust into that country. And you know, I was scared. I was really scared, but God was with me. He had a plan for that year, and I'm super grateful it happened. But after that, I came back to the States. I've been living in Texas ever since. And so I do go back to Mexico sometimes.
Yeah.
But absolutely awesome experience.
That's great. You know, God's funny like that. I mean, he knows. Like, so you were born in Mexico. Then you moved to Ohio, which, for those of you who don't know, is the home of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And so a little bit of that guy was like, okay, just so you know, this is a thing. And then you go back to school. When did you start your rock music career?
Yeah, so when I was in high school, it's really funny. I like actually was more involved in theater and acting as a kid. I showed more promise in that, actually, like Broadway, singing, stage. And I loved the rush of it. But as I became a teenager, I started really loving rock music. And I started writing all these songs that, like, I'd been writing songs since I was little, but I didn't understand the phenomena. Like, I remember the first time I heard a song in my head. It was like, what is going on? Like, I was like, I think 7. I was like, what is this music I hear? I'm so confused. And I was addicted to it. And so I just kept like all mental bank of all these melodies that I wrote. And then as I got into, as I got exposed to rock music, especially Christian rock music, it was a really awesome time when I was like 15. I was getting involved in church. I was discovering the culture of Christian rock bands. And that really moved my faith a lot in a really, really positive direction. It moved my life in a bit. I found community there. My church youth group was such a pivotal thing of me coming close to God. So really, really awesome. But yeah, Ohio is a weird place to me. I mean, it's funny because I met my now husband in Ohio, technically the first time. And then I lived in Ohio. So Ohio's for lovers, it definitely is. It's a really weird, special thing.
That's awesome. Strange. All right, so who when you were younger, before you're a rocker now, but before you hit that spot when you were younger, who was your band? What was your band? Who was like, oh, if this comes on the radio or if the CD or MP3 plays right now, yeah, like, who was it?
Well, so when I was a little kid, I had this like really cheesy little radio that my mom got for me at a garage sale. And I, as soon as I came home from the bus every day, like talking about like elementary school, I would rush to my room and play that radio and for hours, like just hang out in my room listening to music. And I remember when Bring Me to Life by Evanescence came out, I think I was like maybe in fourth grade or something.
Yes.
And like that song blew my mind. Like I stayed by that radio every day waiting for them to play that song every single day. And then I really, you know, I would listen to, Dido. She was an artist back then too.
Yes.
Matchbox 20, all those 2000s hits that would come on the radio. Linkin Park was massive. Mm. Like that's the start of their career. I remember listening to, In the End. I don't know if I was like in second grade, but like, I loved it. Dude. Eminem was coming out and really things that shouldn't been on the bus radio for children.
but they were.
I don't know why.
We all had that bus driver at one point.
They all smoked cigarettes. They were all cursing at us. How do you know? But I mean, it was a different time back then. I was a good kid. I never got yelled at, but I loved that radio so much.
I'm not gonna lie. I think that our bus driver, who hopefully is retired by this time, there was a group of students that was able to talk her into, after certain, you know, we all as a group on the bus said, hey guys, most of us live in this general area. we want to have a end of school or a holiday party or something like that on the bus. The rest of you, if you don't want to do that, you go to you want to present this to our bus driver and say they will get off. They said they'll get off. The rest of us want to hang out. And she was like, okay. So oh she stopped the bus, let everybody else off where they needed to, stopped the bus on the side of the road, and we had a Christmas party.
That is awesome. That is like, amazing.
Bus drivers back in the day, I'm just a student. Students, don't try it now.
I could never fly now. Same thing in Mexico, dude. All the school rules were so lax in Mexico. Like, I never got in trouble for anything. Like, I got away with a lot, you know? But I had I was the American that came into that school. So I was just popular because I was what they call gringa. Meaning the American, right? And so I got away with a lot, and you know, I was really cool, you know, people, the novelty of the American, you know, coming in, speaking terrible Spanish, speaking really good English, and, you know, failing all the Spanish classes, but being a gem in the English, you know, they were just waiting for me to read the English textbook. They're like, it's so beautiful. And I can't speak Spanish worth anything, dude. I made so many mistakes. Obviously, I got more fluent. You know, I tell people, if you want to learn Spanish, just go live in the country for 3 months. And you're going to screw up a lot and speak really poorly. But, like, after a month, you'll be starting to correct things. And you just got to submerge yourself in the culture, if that's a possibility for them.
When I was younger.
So crazy, because then I switched to like a Broadway acting kind of like deal. Like, I genuinely remember wanting to be in Broadway because there was something about the stage that I loved so much and this thrill that I got. And, you know, and then also musical theater. It was like everything I loved: acting, musical theater, stage. And then just, I don't know, over time, like, just God really got a hold of me. And I really dedicated my life to him so much that, you know, that was all I wanted. And so I met some friends in high school. We made a Christian rock band. We only played like Battle of the Bands at school. We lost like every time. We got second place 1 year. I don't even remember, actually, to be honest. But it was like I had to get really used to not winning anything. And I think that's what made me resilient as a musician getting older, because I was like, I never win. I just keep doing it, though. I don't know why. Then finally I got decent. Just fooling around, getting in that practicing of high school where like it's not that big of a deal. Yeah. You know, you're just a bunch of kids learning. I continued with it and I've had success with it, and I wouldn't trade it for anything. It's basically a dream come true. I get to do this. Yeah.
That's a lot of hard work. Now, the question I have to ask, and we all want to know. As a what I would call a rock star, you got to be geeky about something. What are you geeky about?
I do love gaming a lot. But the weird thing is that, like, I don't know a lot about a lot of games. I know a lot about certain games. like, I used to have my whole apartment used to be completely decorated Legend of Zelda. Like, I was obsessed with Zelda. As I got older, I mean, I could only afford, like, my parents kind of like didn't give me any video games growing up. So I didn't start becoming a gamer until I was like 18, when I could afford my own systems, and I bought it. So like my first gaming system, one of my first ones, was like the N64, and I was already like 18, but it was what I could afford and what I could do, you know? So I got into Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask on Zelda, and I just literally, this sounds crazy, but like Legend of Zelda is kind of the reason I am a rocker today.
Whoa,
as well.
Okay, that's like a whole story.
Yeah, I'll tell you the story.
Yes.
Okay, so this is why, like, I do such long interviews, because everything leads up to something else, like crazy, dude.
Trust, the audience gets it, especially anybody that watches us on Twitch. We actually have a button gives the Doug voice from up.
Squirrel. It has to, though, for this to make sense. Like, I literally owe my career to Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess. So I'm gonna tell you how right now, okay? I owe my life to this game, all right? So I had just, it was my third year of college. I went to Bible school. I went to Christ for the Nations in Dallas. Beautiful time of my life. God is so good. But my third year, I was actually planning on being graduating to be in ministry and be a youth pastor. And some personal things happened in my life, just huge changes. Like, I went through a breakup with a guy that I really thought I was going to marry. Mm. Like, it was very shocking to me that it fell apart. So I got really invested. Like, video games was just like a way for me to like decompress and like process all these things, which Majora's Mask is literally a game about processing grief.
Is it?
And
really?
I was playing it. I'm sorry?
Is it really? I've never played it.
Yeah. Majora's Mask is, there's conspiracy theories on like what the real meaning of Majora's Mask is. There's like a massive, I think PewDiePie put out his whole theory of Majora's Mask and how they think Link is actually dead, whole game.
Ooh,
and so okay. Like each character you meet, each temple you go through represents one of the stages of grief, which is like denial, anger, bargaining, depression, acceptance. So I don't know. I was playing that game. I had no idea. And it was really healing to me. So I finished Majora's Mask. I was in my last year of college. And in order to process all that grief that I was going through, I actually got a scholarship my third year. So my parents gave me a graduation present of recording some of my own songs professionally. I had never done them professionally before. But I had no band. I just got some of my friends together to record those songs because, like, they were all committed to other projects.
Yeah.
So I was like, I don't have a band, but I have music. That doesn't make any sense. And at the time, I was playing Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess. And Twilight Princess has a character in the game named Ilya. And Ilya is a Christian rock band, all-female rock band. And so I had these songs that I had written for and recorded. And like my producer was like, what are you going to do with these? These are actually really, really good. And I was like beginning to pray to God because I laid down music for about 3 years to go to college. I felt like that's what the Lord was wanting me to do, is to sacrifice that and put it aside and just go to school and learn what he had for me. I genuinely thought he like told me to lay it down forever. And I was like, well, I guess that's, he wants to be a youth minister. I'll do it. It hurt bad. But I knew that if I was able to give up music, it could never be an idol in my life again. So it was an important spiritual step that I made for myself. I'm really glad I did it because everybody knows that music can easily become an idol. That desire for fame, that desire for notoriety, like that can be definitely an idol. So I had these songs that were professionally recorded, but no band. And I had listened to Ilya, that rock band, in high school. And at first they were looking for a singer that around my senior year of high school. And I was like, maybe I can audition and get in. Well, my parents were not going to let me not go to college, so I couldn't do it. Went to college, processed all my grief from the breakup I had during college, recorded that 5-song EP, played Twilight Princess. And at the time, I was researching a lot of bands and kind of seeing their model of how they did it. Because I was like, I'll just release the songs myself, I guess. But when I saw Ilya in the game, I was like, flashback, remembered them. And I was like, oh, yeah, what are they up to? Let me go check them out on Facebook. So I went and checked them out on Facebook. And like the first thing I saw was that they were looking for a new singer again.
Oh, wow.
It'd been 3 years since first time they were looking for a new singer. So I was like, no way. And I was like, I'm a female. I can scream. I can sing. I can do exactly everything they did in their old music. And I have new music. So I reached out to them. I got connected and I sent them an audition video. And they were like, hey, we really like you. Can you like come meet us actually? And they were only like 5 hours away from Dallas.
Okay.
So I was like, wait a second. I can like literally do this. Like I can go meet with them now. Like
hold on. 5 hours from Dallas. So that's 20 miles. Got it.
Yeah, right. Oh my God. No, they were in Arkansas. So I made a trip one weekend to meet them. And then I showed them my songs and it was actually a perfect fit because they had lost their singer. They were trying to go record new music, but they had limited budget. Mm. So we basically, gave them this album to put out under Ilya with me as their new singer.
Oh, wow.
And like literally after college, I like basically took a ginormous shortcut and just joined an already touring established band.
That's amazing.
And then, like, it was history from there, because that was my foot into the door into the industry.
Yeah.
And I was with that band for about 3 years until we disbanded, and then I became Zana solo. So, like, I learned a lot of ropes while I was in Ilya. You know, I learned a lot about the industry. And now I'm doing it there. So it's just kind of like, thanks, Legend of Zelda, for reminding me of that game that That's I joined.
Awesome. That's fantastic.
It's just crazy to see how, like, God really does know what he's doing. Like, I truly believe, like, if I hadn't laid down music and obeyed him, like, I would have done a really long detour trying to do this myself. Just really, I don't know. His timing is perfect, honestly. And I do believe it was important for me in my spiritual walk to let go of the thing that I loved the most, because I needed to know that I loved God more than that. And so, yeah, and here I am, dude. He's, like, been blessing it ever since. I don't know.
Oh, that's fantastic. Now, I also remember at Life Fest, you're not too shabby at a little bit of Mario Kart.
Okay, so I was annoyed that day because I'm actually way better than that. But the kid chose 50 CCs. And I never play 50 CCs. I only play like 200 CCs. And so it was like too easy that I was bad at it. this is weird. I can't drift the same way.
Yeah.
So I was annoyed that day, even though it's like so stupid. Like, you're playing a kid, bro. Like, calm down. I'm competitive. I mean, you ask anyone, and I talk a lot of trash. playing Mario Kart or Mario Party, and it's overboard. I'm just savage sometimes.
I am
my friend's
so
like, dang!
I am so glad you didn't send a kid home crying.
Yeah, I'm a little feisty. Little spicy sometimes.
Okay.
You know, I don't mean to be, but...
You know what? I understand. I 100% understand. I play Overwatch. I don't know if you've ever played Overwatch.
I have not.
But I play it only with certain people.
Uh-huh.
And the reason is because I'm not the person I want to be when I play that game. I get salty. I don't use expletives, but I get mean. but the people that
you
I play
talk people?
What's that?
Do you talk people?
Maybe.
It's like really mean things that, you know, like, I don't know. It's all in good fun. Though.
Yeah,
like,
the only time, and this is very recently, and this is how I knew I had to take a step back from Overwatch again for a second. There was somebody that played one of the healers, and they were being an aggressive healer, as in not healing their team, but coming after me. And then they typed in chat, LOL. And I was like, you can be mean to me all you want, but if you're gonna put it in chat, so I was practicing a tank character that I had never really played. And I was like, so I went to somebody I knew, and I focused them. That's all. All I did was I focused them. I was like, guys, take care of everybody else. I'm going after that healer. They're like, okay, that's what you're supposed to do anyway. But it was aggressive. And then, we pushed and we won. And I typed in chat, LOL, mercy.
I've been mean. That's just like, to me, that's just like, he deserves that. Okay? I don't even fault you.
To me, that's like, I'm not that guy at all. But there's a certain amount of justice that I like to see served.
Would have done minimum that.
You would have doxed him, email.
I would put him on blast in my fan groups. I'd be like, everybody go attack. I'm just kidding. I wouldn't do that. But sometimes I think about it. Set the hounds up.
Yeah. Like, and let's be honest. This is being human. This is what happens to us, right? We're not perfect. But it's a lot of work to get good at something, first off, it's a lot of work to sometimes stay humble at things that you're really good at. But then there's also not only that hard work time, there's that rest time. There's that, as they say in Psalms, I believe that's it's the Selah times, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, just take a break, rest. Take a breath.
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you, in your fandoms, what does that look like? Because sometimes, like with RPGs, you work so hard at building up this character. Or at, you know, in first-person shooters, you get really hard at, you work really hard at understanding the game and how does that little chess piece work? What does taking a rest in your fandoms look like?
In my fandoms? Yeah. Like with games? Yeah, or games, like with my Zana fans?
I would say games and... Then even if you have like comics or movies or stuff like that, that, you know, you're just taking a break, taking a rest. What does that look like?
Yeah. So like taking a break from the whole game itself.
Yeah.
Kind of. Yeah. Well, to be honest, I really don't have a whole lot of time to play video games.
Yeah.
Because I, you know, like it's hustle. It's all hustle.
Oh yeah.
Which is why I don't know a lot of games because I commit to one game at a time. So, like, I don't like to switch them up. I like to make progress. Like, right now, I'm doing Tears of the Kingdom. It's hard, man. Tears of the Kingdom for Zelda has been really hard.
Yeah.
I don't have a mechanical brain where I just, like, create ships and, like, put them together.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
that's what I forgot
I'm
you could do
good
that.
At engineering. Yeah, it was hard for me. Like, low-key, I was, like, really kind of just, like, not enjoying the game in the beginning. Mm. Because, well, every Zelda is really hard in the beginning because you only have, like, three hearts. So you die, like, all the time. It's really frustrating in the beginning. As for taking a break for stuff, man, I really gotta... It depends what my workload looks like that week. Sometimes I really do need to decompress, though, from screens because, like, I spend all day... analyzing social media, analyzing other artists, doing marketing campaigns for my music, and gaining knowledge on how to be a better cutting edge independent artist, how to make more income to do bigger things. And so I think that I've really had to just set a routine in place for me. And if I get to play video games, if I'm not too tired by the end of the night after things done, then cool, I get to play. And then sometimes on weekends, I definitely do... make time for leisure. Yeah. I'm actually schedule time for leisure. So a routine is really important, structure and scheduling. Because I work from home, it's very easy to get sidetracked. Like my cat, he's always like, oh, I just want to lay down and cuddle with him all day. I want to love him and nap with him. And he gets upset when I don't. But it's like, I got to stay on the schedule.
Yeah.
As for that, as for rest, like I actually last night I could have played a video game, but I actually played a game called Call to Adventure by myself. It's a board game, and you have to defeat the adversary. So it's kind of a Dungeons and Dragons type of board game.
Yeah.
It's so fun though, and you can play by yourself. You just have to defeat the adversary. You basically cast dice to see if your attempt was successful at killing the adversary the whole time. And I think I really enjoyed it a lot more than like sometimes video games because it's like I have pieces in front of me. And so I've been really getting into some board games lately. And my husband thinks it's just kind of like dorky, but I don't care.
I have a friend of mine that's trying to get me to play Marvel United. And you can play that solo. And I might have to start doing that, too. That's a good idea. Yeah.
Board games are awesome, and they're so good to play at parties and with people. So it's kind of my new thing now, I guess.
So, in your journey to be where you are, with your music, God almost, you know, kind of said stop. He said, you know, he forced you to take that break, forced you to like if you. I hate to use the word forced, but you were highly encouraged to take that.
Yeah.
Looking back on that, does that help or how does that help you take those breaks that he's asking you to take now?
Yeah, absolutely. Great question. So me laying that down, I think, was really important to prove to myself, like, why I was doing music. What am I doing this for? Because there are so many temptations and things. And I've always wanted to do it for, you know, the goal of bringing people closer to a heavenly God, you know, or opening the communication for people that don't know him to maybe open their hearts to him, whatever I can do. But I also kind of made a pact with God. I was like, look, whatever happens in my life, I'm going to write about it. So like, I'm always going to be honest about where I'm at with him. And God has done insanely amazing things in my life where I have to write about it. Like I have to tell the world. So it's kind of my ministry thing that I do, but it's also something that I try to use for people who don't know Christ, you know? So some of the songs are very obviously like about God. Some of them are not. And I'm trying to get into the secular realm to start building that bridge. And I guess for me, I know that I'm capable of letting go of music. I know that I have downcast it as an idol. I trust myself now with it now. Because I never want to get to the point where I'm doing it for the wrong reasons. I'm doing it for pride, you know? And sure, maybe I have a bad day where I'm feeling prideful, but you know what? I correct myself. I correct my posture because musicians are humans too, man. Like, they are going to have their own spiritual battles. And musicians get a crap hand from a lot of things, like from the industry itself. They get a lot of rejection from Christian fans and from non-Christian fans. It's like, we get everything. Like, just people have something to say. But like, to me, if I know that I'm doing it for a purpose that is higher than myself, then I trust myself with it. So as for now, even with more success that I've had, the road has not been easy to get that success. And there are days where, like, I feel really good. I feel really happy with where I'm at. And other days I just completely crumble. And I'm like, you know what? I want to quit real bad. Like, this isn't worth it, you know? But at the end of the day, I've tried to quit low-key a lot. and it never works, bro. It never works.
Nice.
And God's like, he just makes a way, or he brings somebody to encourage me. And I do see a lot, like, this last album was absolutely insane results. Like, I went through a lot of spiritual battles to make sure that this album came out. And it has literally like surpassed my expectations of the fallout that it had from that impact of being released. Like, it got to like 1 million streams in 5 months. Wow. Like, my first album, it took 4 years to make it to 1 million streams on Spotify. And this one called Stronger Than Death did it in 5 months.
Stronger Than Death, y'all. Go listen.
Yeah, Stronger Than Death. Yeah, that album, it almost killed me. The reason it's called Stronger Than Death, but it's an album about I went through kidney failure actually in 2019, and literally like hospitals and needles were my absolute fear of my entire life. Like, I used to pass out getting a shot at the doctors. So like, being told that I had organ failure at 24 years old because I had a genetic disease that I didn't know that I had, you know. In the middle of like the height of my music career, like, I literally had just played Germany. Like, you're telling me like I need a kidney transplant, and I'm like, and I'm 24. Like, you know, it was a lot of questions. It was a lot of turmoil. And it wasn't even like, oh, so sad my music career. It's like, no, so sad. I don't even know how I can go through with a transplant. Like, at one point I literally wanted to die because I could not handle or cope with the fear of like having an IV in my neck, getting cut open, having to get my blood drawn every single week, having to get needles in me constantly. Like, I mean, you're talking to someone who has like a literal phobia of hospitals and needles. So it was just a really crazy time. And then right after my transplant, the pandemic happened, and I'm already like highly immunosuppressed after my transplant. And I'm like, oh, I'm just going to die again. It's all good. I'm just going to keep dying, or I'm going to get this disease. I'm going to get COVID. I'm going to die. I just got married. I'm going to die. My organs are failing. I'm going to die. You know, it's just constant. Like, I didn't even get to live to my full potential. Just absolute insane psychological things happening to me. And then also, like, I was really poor because my insurance costs so much money and my medications cost so much money. And my husband is on tour with his own band and I can't even work because I'm so weak. Like, really stressful, stressful things that I don't really know how I made it through. I mean, obviously with the grace of God. But while that was all happening, I was writing this album. And at first it was just going to be about like my transplant thing, you know, like what, you know, I think God really allowed that to happen in my life. One, because I conquered a very, very deep, deep, deep seated fear in me. Second, because my mom ended up being my donor. She was the only one that had the, she donated to me. And it was one of the most beautiful spiritual examples of Christ's sacrifice to me. Like, I think that I really truly understand much better spiritually the concept of somebody having to come save you or else you would die, you know? And and that picture of what Christ did on the cross for me, like, it didn't set in really until I understood it physically, where I would have died had my mom not come to save me, you know? And it's like, it really just highlighted the need we have for a savior, you know? So beautiful, beautiful spiritual lesson I learned. You know, I don't even know how I overcame that. Like, I get emotional sometimes because it was really hard. But after that, it was like, finally, I had my transplant and then the pandemic happened. So it's not only my health at jeopardy, it's my dreams, it's my purpose, because a lot of my drive to get through that transplant was my music. And I was like, no, I know I'm not going to die. I have more to offer. I have more to do in this world before that happens. And then when the pandemic happened, all like me and my label parted ways. I had to like start over basically independently. And music costs a lot of money to do. Like, you know, we're like, I mean, there's all levels to this game, but I operate like within the tens of thousands of dollars to do this. And I had to completely start over when my body was weak, when I had no jobs. I had just bought a tour rig for like 20 grand in February of 2022. Ooh. I'm sorry. Yeah, 2020 February, and then it shut down a month later.
Oh, yes.
Like, I had like massive debt and like hospital debt, medications debt. I just got married, like just financial almost crisis basically, and I just couldn't work because I was so weak. Like, I remember I got like a job just like waiting tables, and like the pain because I lost so much muscle mass from my surgery because I was so sick for so long. I would like almost be in tears after like 2 hours because I had no calf muscles. I had no leg muscles anymore. I was building it all back up, and just standing was like horrendously painful. And then my medications made me feel really nauseous sometimes, and my job didn't care. They didn't care. They were just like, get over it. Get over it. You have tables to wait on. Really high stress, high pressure managed, like restaurant, like just things that, and the girls were so mean to me. Like,
oh no.
Yeah, man, it was rough times. So it was, that's why, like, I not only brag about my successes, I brag about the weakness I had before the successes, because God really truly was, my strength. Like, I literally owe everything to God, how he brought me through those things. So I'm blown away at the response to the album. You know, I cried so many times on the road to this path.
Nice.
And I just hope that it does stuff. I hope that it continues to minister to people.
Yeah. There's a song that I listen to all the time. And if you're a longtime listener of the show or watch or stream, you know this one, but, there's a song that goes, if every day was an easy day, then you would never have the chance to say that Jesus brought you through. And that right there is that I'm seeing that song in your life, and that's fantastic. It's funny, you talked about having this fear of hospitals and needles and such like that. Well, I won't say funny, but it's curious because I've been doing a little bit of thing with ADHD. I've had to have different ways for me to be able to focus and get, you know, be able to work on things. If we're gonna do God Games and Geekery, Lem's gotta be able to get the stuff done. So I've been using bullet journaling as a way to do that, and my devotionals are part of that. And I bought this book the other day, 3,000 Questions About Me. And the question today was, are you afraid of the dark? And then through that, I started, it's the prompt to talk about the answer to the question, but then look up in the Bible about fear and, you know, and just knowing all of that, I was able to answer the question and had my Bible study at the same time. So I say all that to say, I would love to ask you a question out of 3,000 questions about me. You get to pick the number. I have, honestly, I only know two of these questions because I did one yesterday when I dropped my daughter off at the airport, and then one today.
Awesome.
So you get to pick a number between 1 and 3,000.
8.
8. I love it. Right up front. All right. Oh, okay. I'm going to answer this too. Man, I didn't think they were going to hit this hard. What do you most dislike about your appearance? Oh.
My appearance?
Yes.
Let's go. I can tell you that right now. I'll tell you what I don't like. I'll show you. This right here.
That's amazing.
I don't know why I have excess skin right here. It's like probably my Latina traits.
I love that.
Really?
Oh my gosh.
So extra.
Okay. Let me tell you why. All right. I am a giant X-Men nerd. Okay. Giant. Like any of the spinoffs, I have at least one of the comics for it. Right. And there's a spinoff called Generation X. And there's a character in there whose name is Skin. And that's his power. It's just excess, just a little bit. And he's Latino.
It's a Latino thing. Well, for people who aren't watching this video, it's extra cheek fat. That's what we're talking about.
Oh my gosh. I was like, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's the cheek fat right here. It's like called, some people call it the jowls.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I don't know if it's a Latino thing, but it's like extra right here. And then like, as you get older, it kind of just sags more.
Oh, like, that's, oh. So as, you know, as a Latina lady, you get the little bit of jowl, and then you get the sandal skills.
Oh, probably.
Okay, yeah, all right.
I have the temper for sure. I would call it very low patience for like stupidity. I don't know. I'm working on it, man. I'm working on it.
Those who don't know about the sandal, just know, don't mess with a Latina grandma. Don't mess with
an abuela. I think it's every Latina does this, but like once you put us over the edge of anger, we just keep going and we don't stop talking. And it's like, you can't bring her down. Like, let her just finish because she will not stop once you're over the edge. You know, it's like becomes Chihuahua ankle biting real quick. Dude. And I try really hard to not get to that level, but if I'm there, there's no coming down for like 5 minutes. So just let me finish my rants.
Okay, so I'm going to answer that and I'm going to say it's my teeth. I have very soft teeth, so they're prone to damage. It's a thing. I'm not happy about my teeth, but I've learned how to smile big without showing a lot of teeth.
So. I teach a lot of voice students. I'm a voice teacher too. That's kind of like my main income. But I get people who have they don't like their teeth, so they don't sing properly with they can't get past a certain level in voice if they have a lot of tension in their lip because they're scared of their teeth.
Yeah.
It's something I have to diagnose and just, you know, it's my husband's the same way. He like didn't like his teeth for the longest time. It's definitely something that gets to people for sure, even to the point where it kind of hinders them on something that they're trying to learn, like voice.
Yeah. All right. Man, so where can people find your newest album or any of your work?
Everywhere, yeah, on Spotify, Apple Music. If they want physicals, they can just go to ZahnaOfficial.com, Z-A-H-N-A, official.com. I have physicals for sale up there. But anywhere there's music sold, there's a couple music videos on my YouTube channel. All my usernames for everything is ZahnaOfficial. So yeah, go find me.
All right.
Tell me what you think about the album.
Love it. I would, and you know what? I hope this is not the last time we have you on. And at some point in time, we need to have you on a game stream. So
I love that.
So we'll talk about it. Hey, thank you for being here. You're awesome.
Thank you so much, Lem. You have a great day. Thanks for bringing me on.
Thank you so much, Zahna. That was freaking awesome. I'm so glad we got a chance to sit down with you. Oh, man. Hey, guys, you know, in video games, we pause to rest, to strategize or recharge. And I'm thinking specifically of Jedi Fallen Order when you sit down to meditate. And that just brings to mind we should also rest in our lives. We are working hard. We're battling hard out there in the streets. Don't think we don't know. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, the book of Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, it says, "Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men." So God reminds us to take that rest. Take a rest. So when we're working for God, we should keep in mind that He calls us to rest, not just physical, but spiritual rest as well. You know, and as the fans of geeky superheroes, science fiction movies, we love all those adventures and the excitement they bring. It's the reason I watch Michael Bay Transformers movies. That's right, I said it. I watch the Michael Bay Transformers movies, and I love them because explodies. But those stories, sometimes they often, actually not even sometimes, most of the time, they highlight that importance of rest for the heroes too. You know, like Bumblebee and Optimus, they found moments of chill in those movies. And we should transform our own lives to recharge for the challenges ahead. And I know there's a lot of our listeners that are students out there. And we know some of you guys are back in school. And it's real easy to get caught up in that never-ending game of life. However, God wants us to find rest in Him. We pause in video games. We take timeouts in sports ball. And we see, we even have those downtime scenes in our favorite geeky movies. We should also pause in our lives to find rest and refreshment. So let's remember those words that we find in the Bible, Psalm chapter 3, verse 5. "I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me." We can find our true rest after the hard work of our lives in the loving arms of Jesus. Hey, I just want to remind you, you can find us on Twitter. You can find us on TikTok. You can find us on Instagram. You can find us sometimes on the LifeFest Facebook Lives. And you can find us at Quake Events, you guys. We will be at all of the Quake Events in 2024. Make sure you stop by. Make sure you hang out. If you are listening and you have not written a review for the podcast, hey, if you can do it right there on the podcast player, do it. If you want to write a review and you want to send it over to me, it's badgamer@lifepromotions.org. badgamer@lifepromotions.org. I really, really would appreciate it. Hey, thank you all for being here. We love you. You are amazing. And always leave people better than you found them, because you are geeky and you are loved. Peace.